about. There's no God like our God. Hallelujah. This is an easy one. We need to start singing this.
How many know we just thank God for everything?
Amen.
Come on, how many know we thank God for everything?
Everything.
Amen. We thank God. This is the first time we've seen Elk Tennyson smile in about a week. Amen. Somebody says, Amen. Somebody says, Elk Tennyson all right? I said, yeah, he's all right. He'll be better than his wife did that. Hey, somebody didn't even, we didn't even think would notice. He said, hey, is Elder Tinsley all right? Amen. So, Sister Tinsley, next time you go, you can't just call. You got to Skype. Amen. But nevertheless, God is good. Amen. Can I, one announcement. We're going to pray this week. You know, the final, this is supposed to be the final meeting of the loan committee. It's supposed to be on Thursday. So I'm going to ask everyone that can. I know it's hard for us to fast straight through. Uh-oh, I'm messing with everybody now.
All right. All right.
What does that mean? Is that slower than running? No. Amen. We're going to ask everyone. I'm going to fast straight through Thursday. But if you can fast every day from the night before from 12 to at least 4 the next day up until Thursday. Amen. How many know when you have a great challenge, you need a great God involved?
That's right.
And the scripture says, some of these times come not out but by prayer and
fasting.
So don't just fast, but we also need you to turn up your prayer life. Amen. That whatever they need, they got it. Amen. Because we've given them everything. So we're going to fast for those who can. I know we have different medical challenges. So we're going to ask you to fast every day if you can. If not, pick your days. Amen. Pick your days. I know some of y'all haven't fasted for a long time. Hey, I put up. You can't pull up. Actually, I'm going to ask you a question. I was reading something about Bishop Bonner. Let's see what we all know. What are our corporate fast days in the church?
Wednesday, Friday.
Wow, y'all, great. Amen. That's about 14. Our corporate fast days are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Amen. That's when we fast because we need God's direction. Anytime the church tries to govern itself without the help of God, you're in danger. Amen. So our corporate fast days are Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Somebody said, man, I can't fast that long. Amen. No, the more you do it, the better you get. When I first got saved, I fasted so much, my mother told me, she said, boy, if you don't stop that fast, she said, you look like one of those racehorses. Your face is so withdrawn. Amen. But you know what? It's so important. Fasting is a time when we afflict our flesh and agonize in sacrifice to God. We can't die like Jesus died. Amen. But we can't present our bodies. Fasting is a part of sacrificing. Amen. So we're going to fast. Our regular corporate days, I put it on the screen, are Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday from 12 midnight the night before till 4 to 6 the next day. Amen. But now, if you have medical conditions, you have to fast differently. Because God has given us a what kind of mind?
Sound mind.
A sound mind. So medically, you have to fast differently. But the fast, when you have medical challenges, you got to cut out something that you have. So leave out the coffee. Leave out all the other stuff. Amen. Just drink what's necessary. Amen. That wasn't a popular subject. That's all right. Amen. But we want God's favor.
Yes.
Amen. How many want to see God open the windows of heaven spiritually?
Yes.
Get all natural blessings. How many want God to open the windows of heaven spiritually and pour us out a blessing that we have not room to receive? Amen. So we're going to do that. Amen. Actually, my wife and I went on 3 fasts during this period. 3 7-day straight fasts. She kept asking me, she said, when are we going to do it again? I said, when the Lord tells me. He told me, amen. So let us stand. Amen. We already know the church is ours. We just got to meet all these different qualifications. Amen. The challenges. Amen. I was speaking to Brother Aubrey in the back. He said, I was talking to him. He said, okay, what your message is on today? I was like, no, I don't know what my message is on. Because I had a message. I studied all day yesterday and all this morning. I got here and started praying, and God changed something on me. Amen. So, how many said, Lord, let's say, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Come on. How many want to hear a word from the Lord?
Amen.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Thy servant heareth. Amen. Let us turn to Zechariah chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Well, 1 through 6 in Zechariah. Actually, 1 through 7. Zechariah. I know, that's that southern draw messed up again. Zechariah, not Zephaniah. Amen. Zechariah chapter 3. Amen. How many of you know we have some challenges in our lives? And the only way we can get through these challenges is not of our own strength, not of our own volition. But can we say, I need the Lord?
I need the Lord.
Come on, I need the Lord.
I need the Lord.
Amen. I need the Lord. Verse 1 reads, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan at his right hand. How many know everywhere we go, he's always resisting us. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked me. You know, that's a serious condition. Who said it? The Lord had to tell Satan, the Lord. Sometimes we need some divine intervention in our situations when they're real bad. Yes. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments. Thank you, Jesus. From him, and unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord. That's good enough. Let's read. Heavenly Father, we bless you on this afternoon. Lord, in this time of need, we ask you to speak. Lord, at this time, we ask you to move thy servant out of the way. Move pride, selfish ambitions out of the way. Lord, and send the word of anointing and speak. Lord, speak to every need in the congregation this afternoon. Lord God, and as you speak, we ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. Now these blessings we're going to claim, can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen, and you may be seated. Amen. This is when the children of Judah was delivered from Babylon, and they were back to rebuild the temple. And Joshua is the high priest. Amen. Let's go back to verse 1. Joshua is a high priest, which means he's performing the service of God. He's not in the service of the Lord, but he is doing what? Performing the service of God. Amen. How many know once you got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not just in the service, but you're supposed to perform the service of the Lord. Amen. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. So this is a vision that he sees. And he sees Joshua the high priest. But how many know every time God is present, there's somebody trying to hinder the work? Amen. And after he showed him in the vision, Joshua the high priest, he said, and Satan, standing there too. You know what Satan was doing? Making his usual accusations. Amen. His usual attempts to discourage a child of God. Amen. You get on fire for God, and then we allow the adversary to bring his accusations and discourage us. So they're back there trying to do something spiritual. Can we say trying to do something spiritual? We live in a natural world, so we always do something natural. But Joshua The high priest is trying to do something spiritual. Now, how many know before Jesus, the high priest, amen, went into the holies of holies one time a year to offer what? Sacrifice of sin for the people and for himself as well. That's why Jesus became our and our high priest. Amen. If you read about it in Matthew, when Matthew and Mark and Luke, I believe, and I don't think it's in John, but when Jesus was crucified, when he died, the Bible said that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. You know what that signified? Man couldn't do that. Now, if the veil was rent from the bottom to the top, then we can do that. Hallelujah. But this wasn't an ordinary ripping. And it wasn't an ordinary separating. But God himself split the veil. And when he split the veil, he split the veil in the law. And when he came up on the other side, he came up in grace. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So he split the veil. Amen. So now we're no longer under the penalties of law or the wages of sin. Amen. But now we are under grace.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because he split the veil. How many know you couldn't do that for yourself? It took God. I couldn't do it for myself. It took God. So Joshua now is the high priest, and he finds that Satan is standing beside him to resist him or to make accusations. Now, if we just analyze the situation, it has to be a pretty serious spiritual situation. Because at this time, the Lord did not send one of the prophets. Amen. He did not send just an angel, but he himself had to show up on the scene. A lot of times they debate, well, is this the angel of the Lord? Is this an angel? Is this the Lord? Was this the incarnate Jesus himself? The Lord himself, and we find out later, had to show up on the scene because of the difficulties. Because of the, can we say, challenges? When we got challenges, we need the Lord, amen? And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. You know that had to be a very challenging situation. For God himself to have to rebuke the presence of the adversary. Well, if you go to verse 3, well, what was the adversary's accusation? Joshua was clothed in filthy garments. Amen. And the devil knew, said, listen, as long as he's like that, I can bring an accusation. And that's why we need God to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and filthiness of the spirit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. He said, now, take away. How many need God to take away the filthy garments? Lord, I messed up yesterday, but I thank you that your mercy is on you every morning. Lord, I haven't been all that I should have been. Hallelujah. That's why somebody said, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Hallelujah. And I need him right now. So the Lord said, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass, and I will clothe thee with me. It's so important that when God changes us, when God takes away the filthy garment, we have to put on a new garment. Amen. I heard Isaiah say, it's the garment of praise and the garment of righteousness for our God. So the Lord is intervening because of how challenging Joshua's situation was. Amen. Verse 5 reads, from which we're going to get our thought, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Our message this afternoon is, if you stand for God, God will stand for you. If you stand for God, then God will stand for you. Amen. A great preacher back in the 1940s said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Amen. Now, if you stand for God, God will stand for you. But we get sometimes in our lives, we get disoriented spiritually. And we forget what we're standing for. Amen. Once you make a stand for God, there's one scripture that I read in the Bible that I never heard anyone ever proclaim but God. He said, I will be with you always. Hallelujah. I didn't read about nobody else today be with me always. And I didn't read where anybody else said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you but God. So he said, now if you stand with me, God said, I'll stand with you. And as long as you're standing with me, child of God, you have the assurance that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You stand for me and I'll stand for you. But the problem in church is we got too many Nebuchadnezzar situations, too many fiery furnaces, too many situations where our lives have been heated up and we have began to compromise. We won't stand, amen. I like what I like about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can somebody say they were young? Thank you, Jesus. They were young, but they still had a conviction for God. And everybody else, when they heard the music, they fell down and they worshiped, but it wasn't God. And somebody told the king Nebuchadnezzar, he said, hey, those three Hebrew boys that you brought in here, when they hear the music, they won't fall down and worship. So, you know, it's just like our situation. Whenever the devil is always bringing those accusations, you already know that he's about to turn the heat up. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So Nebuchadnezzar brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before him. He said, is it true what I heard? He said, it's true. So the king still didn't believe him. How many know the devil don't believe when you make a stand for God? They said, it's true, O king. We won't fall down and worship your images, and then we won't play to your ungodly music. Somebody said, music don't mean anything. Yes, it does. Amen. That's why the devil uses music. Because it has some importance. Music is so powerful that back in the African countries, in the African nations, they can take a drum and beat it and slow it down and stop your heart. Say, music don't mean, yes, it does. Amen. As a matter of fact, I read a story about over in England, they had a rock concert. And at the rock concert, it was right next to a chicken farm. They said when the musicians started playing all that wild music, that the chickens went wild and killed themselves because of the music. So don't believe that lie that music don't do anything. Because when Satan was created, he was created with all kind of vials and instruments in his body. But that's not what we're here for. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody said, stay on the course. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, O king, we will not fall down and worship your idols. And neither will we bow down to your ungodly music. So the king said, play the music. And they stood. Now this is why you need God on your side. He said, if you don't fall down and worship the image, If you don't fall down and worship what I'm setting up, how many know the devil is setting a whole lot of stuff up? But we should not be falling down and worshiping him. Amen. We should bow before him. Hallelujah. He said, well, at the time that you hear the music, if you don't fall down and worship, he said, I'm going to heat the furnace up 7 times higher than it ever was. He said, and who is that God? Yes. Lord, I like those kind of challenges. Who is that God? That's going to deliver you out of my hands. Amen. I like those God challenges because we have one of those situations that when you make a stand for God, he'll make a stand for you. Hallelujah. So when he turned up the heat, they said, oh, King, we're not careful. We don't even have to think twice about this. How many times we at one of those compromising situations do we have to think again? It's all no, King, we don't even have to think twice about this. If my God, whom we serve, chooses to, he will deliver us. But you have the assurance of one thing. If he don't deliver us in here, he'll deliver us on the other side.
Hallelujah.
He said, we will not fall down and worship your ungodly image. Who's going to make a stand for God today? So the king got infuriated. Hey man, he said, wait a minute. You're going to embarrass me in front of all of my stewards and all of my royalty? Amen. So he said, heat it up 7 times higher. And then he got the strongest men in his army to cast them into the fire. But how many know when you make a stand for God, even the fire cannot touch you?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now the fire was heated up so hot that the men that threw them in were slain from the fire. Can somebody say, but God?
But God.
Come on, but God.
But God.
They said that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they made a stand for God in the face of adversity and danger, they made a stand for God. Amen. And when they threw him down, the Bible said that the king stood up in astonishment. We said, when you make a stand for God, God will do what? Come on, when you make a stand for God, God will make a stand for you. Hallelujah. When they threw him down in the fiery furnace, the Bible said that they got up and they were walking around. Where? In the fire. Amen. It said that the king stood up in astonishment. He said, did not we throw three in the fire? I think the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a Joshua experience. Amen. When the devil was leveling all his accusation against him, the Lord stood by them. Amen. He said, did not we throw three in the fire? But I see four walking and the four Amen. This is, you know you're in God's favor when the enemy
said when the enemy calls you out of his fire, because he can't touch you. All right. Well, why couldn't he touch him? The Lord was standing by them. Anybody got some of those, Lord, I need you to stand by me situations.
Hallelujah.
Anybody in some fiery situations, then they need the Lord to stand by them. The Bible says when he called them out, not even the smell of fire was passed unto them. Amen. It didn't burn their coats, their hoses on their head. They came out of the fire just like they went. They came out like they went in because they made a stand for God. Your convictions, brothers and sisters, your faith has to be in God. Don't you allow anything, don't you allow anyone to cause you to compromise your faith. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We're talking about what? Making a stand for God, and God will do what? Amen. My question is, who are you standing for today? Who or what is challenging you today? Go to the 9th verse. I believe that Nebuchadnezzar should have jumped ahead a couple thousand years and read the book of Timothy. Amen. He would have found out who God is. Amen. The 9th verse reads, Paul writing, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas, just because other people leave don't mean you gotta go. Hey, look at somebody say, look at somebody say, just because they left. Hey, okay, that's half, y'all. I'm gonna give y'all a few minutes. Okay. All right. Look at somebody and say, just because they left.
Just because they left.
You don't have to go. Look at somebody else and say, just because they left.
Just because they left.
You don't have to go.
You don't have to go.
Amen. So he said, demons have forsaken me because he loved the wrong things. He loved what? The Bible says, if any man love this world, amen, then the love of the Father is not in him. So you look at people and say, they left home. Well, what should I do? What do they love? Amen. If they love the world, they're going to leave. But just because they left, you don't have to go.
Amen.
Amen. Make your stand for God. So demons have forsaken me, have a love that spread the world. And as he departed to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Amen. Just because God didn't call you the first time, don't mean you're not there. Amen. Sometimes God has to take us through the school of hard knocks for us to learn a lesson. Somebody said, well, God didn't do it the first time. Amen. We just stay the course. Don't quit on God, because God will never quit on you. Amen. Don't quit on God, because God will never quit on you. Amen. That's why the Bible said, have we received this ministry, and God's mercy we faint not. God will never quit on you. God is the only one that has given us a promise that I'll be with you always, even to the end. Why are we trusting or have confidence in everything else that can't stay with us until the end? Isn't it? That's a question that we all need to ponder and consider. The only one that promised to never leave me nor forsake me is God.
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you always. You ever been in a situation where your loved ones couldn't get there? You're in surgery, your wife, your husband can't get there? You're in a situation where your mother, father can't get there?
Guess what? God is there.
When everybody else will forsake you, I heard the psalmist say that the Lord will take you up. So why is our confidence in things that cannot satisfy?
While we're trusting in things that cannot deliver,
when, can we say only the Lord? There's some things in our lives that only the Lord can do. So stand for God, and in turn God will
stand for you.
He said, bring Mark now because he's profitable. Just because you didn't make it the first time, that doesn't mean God cast you out and away forever. If the first time, Mark was not ready. Amen. So if you messed up before, don't think that you are sealed and finished. Because God can turn it around. He said, now everybody else has left me. Now listen to this. In the beginning, Mark left, right? Right? Mark left and everybody else stayed.
And everybody else left. God says, come back, Mark.
Because God's ways are past finding out. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are God's judgments and his ways of the past. So in the beginning, Mark left and everybody else stayed.
Everybody's lead, and Paul said, bring me. How many marks do we have this afternoon?
How many marks do we have this afternoon? Now, I imagine that Mark was like some of us. Mark would have quit.
Amen. Mark would have given up. Mark would have said it's not worth it. But if he said, bring him because he is now, he's now valuable for me.
Because Mark went through something, but he learned that when you get on something, I think John Mason, he wrote the book Average. He said, saints should be like a postage stamp. You got to stick on what you want until you are delivered. That's how church people should be, like a postage stamp. Stay on what you want until you are.
Amen. Some of the postage stamps lose their glue. Amen. And then the
whatever was supposed to be delivered wound up in one of those baskets, lost and found. Amen. Okay, return to sender. Amen. Why? Because they won't stick with something until they are delivered. The church quits too many times because it didn't go well the first time. But if you stay with God, he'll make a way where there is no way. So John Mark did not quit and give up. Now, you know what's even more remarkable than John Mark is profitable and Demas and everybody else think haven't left? Barnabas was in one of the most spiritual positions he could have ever been in. He was with the greatest apostle of all time. He was with Paul. But because Mark left, he left. That's why I said, look at somebody and tell them, just because they left. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, you don't have to leave. Amen, because Barnabas missed out on his blessing. He missed out on his blessing because Mark left and he left. As a church and in our personal life, we need to make a stand for God. Amen. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. When you take your eyes off of Jesus and start looking at everybody else, you get messed up. So you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been through many dangers towards the snare. I've been in some bad situations. But thank God. Hallelujah. I stayed on Jesus. Amen. And you know what the Bible says? This is what the scripture says. How many know the Bible is right?
Amen.
How many know the Bible is right?
Amen.
Is that when you look at the things which you're seeing, they are what?
Temporal.
Amen. When you try to figure out what you can see, that's only going to last a little while. But when we look at the things that are not seen, they are? Can you see God? Amen. Can you see God? But guess what? He's still standing beside you. Through the heat, through the thick, through the thin, he said, I won't leave you. Now, you know, like I said, I love my wife and I know my wife loves me. Sometimes I mess up, but no. But that's just part of life. But I talk about when the rubber meets the road. But guess what? I'm not going to say anything to cause her to leave God. She's never going to say anything to cause me to leave God. If you have somebody in your life and they're taking you away from God, you don't need that. Because that has become an agent and a tool of the devil. And you know what they're going to do? First, they start off a little bit. Then they begin to work on you emotionally a whole lot. And then you find yourself. Why? You lost your focus. The Lord himself said, the distractions of this world and the cares of this life will choke the word of God. It didn't say you won't be in church. It said you will be unfruitful in church. In other words, you're just sitting in the pews and you're not doing anything for God. Why? Because of the distractions and cares of this world. All right, I'm getting back on the message again, so y'all can get out. Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the book, but especially my writings. Paul said, I need that to encourage myself. Amen. Now he said, Alexander, the coppersmith did me. You don't have to worry about what anybody does when God is standing by you. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, so he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, this is when everybody has left you. And that's why I said, just because they left, you don't have to go. Just because they didn't make a stand for God, you don't have to compromise and leave. Just because they bowed down to the ungodly music, you don't have to bow down. Just because they compromised their faith, you don't have to compromise your faith. Even if you have to stand alone. Amen, you're not alone. Because God, Paul said in my first answer,
no man.
What?
No man.
He said, when I made my first stand, guess what? Nobody stood with me. He said, but all men, just because they left, Paul said, don't mean I'm leaving. Amen. God has been too good to me. God has made too many ways for me. God has blessed me too many times. You can turn your back on God, but because you go, I'm not going to go anywhere. You can leave me, he said, but I'm not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Let all men forsake me, but as long as the Lord is on my side, I'm going to stand still so that I can see the salvation of God. Paul said, oh, but it ain't true. Seem like your family has deserted you. Seem like loved ones have deserted you. Seem like your best man has deserted you. Stand. I said stand. Because as long as you stand for God, God will
stand.
Paul said, all men have forsaken me. The psalmist said, when everybody else forsakes you, guess what? That's the best position you can ever be in. Because when they give up on you, then the Lord will take you up. You know what that's called? God's grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You don't see it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, when I look back at those rough times of my life, I don't know how I made it through. God was carrying you. God had picked you up. God's grace was there, even though you didn't have another human there. God was there. He said, when all men forsook me, I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. This is what I like. When everybody else left, amen, when it didn't seem like I had no other help, when it seemed like I had no other hope, when it seemed like my best friend had turned their back on me, hallelujah, it seemed like all those that I've counted on for years had turned their back on me, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
If you make a stand for God, regardless of whoever else leaves, God will stand with you. Focus on God. Don't allow the devil to use anything or anybody else to cause you to turn your back on God. He said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, hallelujah, I was weak, hallelujah, but the Lord strengthened me. Anybody been weak? Anybody been to the point of quitting? Anybody been to the point of giving up? Stand with God, because the Lord will stand with you and the Lord will strengthen you. He said, not only did he strengthen me, but if you drop down a little bit, he said, and I was delivered. Somebody said, well, I'm going to stand with God. Who else can deliver you? In your present situation, what can deliver you?
That's right.
What else can make a way but God? You make a stand for God. You know, in a lot of times, just like the Hebrew boys, the devil don't believe your stand. Just like Daniel, he don't believe your stand. Hey man, they told Daniel, stop praying. Anybody tell you, you know, this, you gotta be careful when people don't want you to pray, don't want you to read your Bible. You know, sometimes spouses can get in the way. So you pray and read too much. I'm trying to get the Lord to stand by me. Amen? I want the Lord to stand by me. Because in my most desperate hour, when my spouse can't help me, then what? God will strengthen me. We lose too many battles because we won't stand for God. And we compromise. Well, when they knew that Daniel prayed, they said, all the way we can do anything against you is when it comes to your God.
Sure.
Don't you know that's the best position you can be in? Yes. The only fault they can find, occasion they can bring against you is against you and your God. They said, we can't, listen, Daniel was too righteous. Daniel was too upright. Daniel is too godly minded for us to get him any kind of way, so let's attack him with his God. But they said when they told Daniel, don't pray, Daniel said, I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to make a stand for God. And Daniel said, I know that when I make a stand for God, then God will make a
stand
for me. In face of danger, in face of uncertainty, what do you do? In face of danger and in face of uncertainty, what do you do? Do you stand? No wonder Paul said, having done all to stand, do what?
Stand.
Having done all to stand, it's time for the church to stand. No matter who else goes, don't you leave. No matter who else turns their back on God, don't you turn your back on God. No matter who else gives up, don't you give up. Because God has assured you that I will stand by you. So they said, don't pray, Daniel. Daniel said, you know what? The only thing I have to look forward to is God. He said, what I've done before, I will continue doing now. Because if I'm faithful to God, then God will be. Can I get some help? If I'm faithful to God, God will be. What are you
are we more faithful to this afternoon? What are we to do with us? What are we more faithful to this afternoon? Either to God, or what are we more faithful to? Daniel said, I cannot lose my faithfulness. So when he knew that the decree was signed by the king, that if anyone is found for 30 days, I had one of them 30-day experiences before. That stuff is ungodly, but we ain't gonna go there. He said, if anybody is found for 30 days praying to any other God but to our God, he said, I'm gonna throw them into the lion's den. The Bible said, when Daniel knew. How many of y'all know the decree's been signed? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? You're not supposed to pray for 30 days, don't do this. For a little while, I want you to just leave God. For the next week, miss church. For the next week, don't pray. For the next week, don't fast. Right? The devil will say, okay, now after it's a week, then I can get you for 2 weeks. Then after I work on you for 2 weeks, I work on you for 3 weeks. Then after 4 weeks, you'll be gone. Because those are his ploys, his tactics that he uses against the church, trying to get us to compromise a little bit, because a little bit will become a whole lot. So he works on you little by little, trying to get you to compromise instead of making a stand for God. So the Bible said, Daniel, can we say new?
New.
What things do you know? What things do you know that's making you compromise? Amen. That's something to really consider. What things do you know that you're compromising? When Daniel knew the decree was signed, he continued as he did. He continued to pray 3 times a day. And then when they brought him, they said, Daniel, is this true? And Daniel went, oh, no, it wasn't true. Maybe it was somebody else. Daniel said, yeah, I prayed. Because Daniel knew that God had said, if you ever get to the point, it's something about the house of God. You know, it's great to pray at home. It's great to tell evangelists, great, that's all right. But I heard someone say, if Israel ever get put to the worst, amen, if they ever get taken away from their holy place, he said, now, the best thing for them to do is to get back to the house. He said, but if they cannot get back to the house, if they can just pray towards this place. Don't you realize what Daniel was doing? Daniel couldn't get to church, but Daniel had the presence of mind to look to the place where he came from, where the church was. And the Lord told Simon in a prayer, he said, if my people, anybody got some bad situations, hallelujah, you don't know where your help is coming from, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, let us stand. How many of us are God's people? Give God a wave of offering. If my people, Lord bless your name, thank God that I'm counted in the number, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven. God has not changed. God has not left us as the altar workers and the elders and the ministers come forward. God has not left. The problem is, God is standing in the same place, but we have moved. God is in the same place, but we've moved. It's time to come back to God. It's time to make a stand for God. Because if we stand for God, then God will stand. Even in the midst of adversity, in the midst of calamities, when it seems like there's no hope, God will stand for you. But when you lose your focus spiritually, when you begin to allow your eyes to wander and to look around, you will get sidetracked. And in getting sidetracked, you won't see God in the midst of your situations. You won't see that the Lord is standing beside you because you're looking for deliverance from another source. Brothers and sisters, it's after only God can deliver you. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, stand with God, and God will stand with you. Hallelujah.